This is the Cubs-related podcast. Tonight is May 22nd. It's a Monday. The Cubs almost came back to put up a good fight against the Giants. They ended up losing 4-6. They almost made a run. A lot of hard-hit balls. Their overall record now stands at one game above 500. And they have three more games against the Giants. Then they go to Southern California to face the Dodgers and the Padres. But a lot of weird games, I think, Corey, especially this Brewers series. The Eddie Butler game, no good. And then they had the rainout gate, if you will, the Brewers accusing the Cubs of essentially just wanting to take the day off. And then they came out Sunday, all guns firing, hitting homers like crazy. But what do you think about that Watergate issue? I found that pretty funny. Did you see what the Brewers general manager said?
Yeah, I mean, I don't specifically care. The Cubs probably might have done that. It's certainly possible, and I wouldn't care. But I don't know. It's one of those things where I've lived in Chicago for about 15 years, and if somebody says the forecast says rain, it's probably possible that it's going to rain. I mean, the weather there is terrible. So I didn't see why it was such a big deal. I know that, I saw beat writers and other people discussing that it was hours after the game and it hadn't rained, you know, the whole day. And I get it, right? You know, they could have tried it. But, you know, I think they're trying to be proactive and pragmatic and not, you know, have a bunch of people come down there for a game that, you know, and let people in and stuff like that. For a game that they didn't think they were going to get played. And I think if you've lived in Chicago or just watched Cubs games, like, the weather in Chicago is terrible. It was, you know, so.
I mean, the forecast had off and on rain throughout the day.
I mean, yeah, so I don't really, they might have done that. They might have been like, come on, guys, let's bang this, you know, because, of course, they might want a day off. But in Chicago, I don't think it's really reasonable to question the weather like that. So I just don't think it matters. Is it that big of a deal to the Brewers? And, you know, I saw somebody made the joke. I'm not going to get right who it was, but, you know, somebody's like, well, the Brewers really wanted to play that game on Saturday because they knew they weren't going to show up at all on Sunday. You know, it's like, you're going to whine and complain and then give up, you know, five home runs or whatever it was. Yeah. It's like, shut up. Come on.
Yeah. I mean, Corey, overall, the offense, I think, looks better. Javi looks good. Zobrist is on fire. The overall feel of the lineup, now that Hap has been in there almost every day, substantially better. I have the numbers in front of me. We have Javi's WOBA at 323 after tonight. Zobrist is above 340. Man, you know, once those guys, by those guys I mean Rizzo and Schwarber, once they start hitting, you combine that with Javi and Bryant and Zobrist. I mean, they're gonna. It's only a matter of time until they start putting up runs.
Yeah, this team feels close. I think
it's close
to going on a little bit of a run here and maybe racking up some wins. I know tonight was a frustrating loss, a little bit of a comeback there. And, you know, I think tonight was just one of those games, you know, I think most indicative of that double play that Wilson grounds into. You know, they were hitting the ball hard all night. It just felt like it was right at people. And, you know, they made a game out of it. But it feels close. You know, Lester's been quite good. Hendricks trending in the right direction feels pretty close to his 2016 form. You know, Lackey is Lackey. I've said that 1,000 times. It gets a little cliche, but you know, it just is how it is. You're going to see him deliver outings like he did in Colorado. And then the one, I'm blanking on who it was against, but the one after that, you know, two good outings in a row. And then tonight it just doesn't go that well. And, you know, that's just how he is. I don't really think there's any more to read into that. Obviously, Eddie Butler, a disappointing start on Friday.
Yeah, he had a weird start. He was averaging 92.5 that start. He's down over 3 miles an hour.
Yeah, and you know, it was worth rainy. Mentioning that it was a terrible day outside. Yeah. I don't, you know, we didn't want to give Brett Anderson that benefit of the doubt, and I, you know, don't really want to give it to Butler either.
We'll
but
be
that soon. Being said, it's, you know, a messy day. So typically on those days, I try to just let the game play out and go about my day because you just kind of know it might be a bad afternoon for somebody.
Yeah.
But I did think, and that was the game that Kerry Wood was actually with Len Casper in the broadcast booth. And I don't remember if it was Kerry or Len, but, you know, credit to the booth as a whole. But I thought they were pretty spot on with their analysis of Butler. I think what he did really well in that first his first start with the Cubs was, you know, he's got good stuff. He had, you know, he was throwing, you know, I think in like the mid to high 90s in that first start.
He was averaging 96.
Yeah, and, you know, with good movement, especially that good arm side run on his two-seam fastball.
Yeah.
And, you know, he was just attacking hitters. And I think that was what was missing in this start on Friday was, you know, way more erratic with the command,
obviously. I mean, the
walks weren't
there. You know, five walks, whatever it was.
Yeah, you know, just – and I think Kerry Wood was the one that pointed it out. You know, he was – erratic with a lot of pitches and then was just missing on an awful lot too. And, you know, I didn't think it was he's not getting the calls game. It was more just he's a few inches off from all these being really good pitches. Not all of them, but a lot of these being really good pitches, like right on the edge, borderline.
Yeah.
He was just a little bit off. So you combine that with the erratic command and, you know, it just wasn't a good outing. But he was able to kind of let the Cubs hang around for a while, which I think is important. And, you know, hopefully, you know, now we're kind of going to have to look at this third start to either, you know, push the advantage to good starts versus bad starts. So
I mean,
hopefully
I think
he can.
First start's going to determine whether or not Anderson comes back to the rotation.
It certainly seems that way, yeah. And if Anderson came back, he'd certainly have a very short leash. But, I think this third start, you know, they'll be looking for Butler, I think, to look a lot more like that first start. Because really what they, you know, if they're throwing strikes and getting hit or balls are falling in or whatever, like, that's fine. But we can't – and it was true when Anderson was doing it. We can't have guys racking up the pitches, walking a bunch of hitters – especially guys lower in the order. It just, that's not what you're looking for in a fifth starter. You need a guy that's can give you some semblance of reliability, throw some strikes, you know, and not make a real mess of things out there. So
that's exactly why I'm still not happy with Arrieta. It's like almost every start, it's so volatile. I never know what I'm getting with this command. And not just moving on to Arrieta, but on Twitter, it seemed like the general feel was more encouraging, trending in the right direction for Arrieta. And Corey, I'm going to be honest with you. I did not see it. He got away with a lot of bad pitches. He left a lot of breaking balls up in the zone. He's still sitting 92.5 as his average. And again, that's significantly down from last year. I just don't see it. I tend to be in the area where if it's not obvious, I don't think it's truly there. And I just still have not seen it from Arrieta. The command is my main concern. At this point, the stuff is what it is. It's not as good as it used to be. Pitchers tend not to keep their good stuff in their 30s, so it's not surprising. That being said, that command has just, it's got to be there if he's going to throw that many two-seamers at that velocity. He's got to hit the zone. And
yeah,
he
was giving Wilson a workout in that game.
I mean, there was like that one at bat, Corey, I think it was in the fifth inning.
Yeah.
It was like, what, three straight spiked sliders or curveballs in the dirt? I mean, Wilson has to like slide 10 feet to his right.
It's, you know, and I know we talk about Arrieta a lot, but I think it's probably the most interesting, like, single thing, you know, from, like, a research or analytic perspective, because it just feels like, you know, there's, I don't know, say, X number of pieces to the Arrieta puzzle, and we only get an incomplete puzzle every day. Right. And it's a different piece that's missing every day. And that's what's so fascinating. And I think that might explain why some people were feeling a little better. I felt a little better throughout certain times in that game. I thought you know, some of the pitches he was throwing, I think especially, you know, maybe it was the fastball. I don't know, just looked like he had a better command or a feel of them. They had a little bit of nice movement. But, you know, then the next inning, it's all over the place. And like you said, leaving balls up, getting hit hard. You know, some games he is generating some whiffs. Some games he generates, like, no whiffs at all. You know, some days the command is effectively wild. Some days the command is just straight up wild. It's really an interesting, I don't even know if that's the word. It's a process to follow, and I'm not really sure what to make of it. I think we'll have to rest our hopes on the notion that, you know, hopefully we can get more outings like Sunday and, you know, similar to the results we got in the World Series, where his stuff, even in a diminished value right now in comparison to the last few years, is good enough to keep the Cubs in games, and every now and again he can pitch a, you know, 6 or 7 inning shutout because he just,
that's just not,
has the stuff to do it. But yeah, no,
not it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. He can't. He doesn't have the same type of stuff. Like, not to keep like beating a dead horse here, but even from last year, it's not the same. He can't look. Even in the World Series, he was still throwing 94, 95 with killer movement. Yeah. That he's not doing that anymore. And
so if I'm hearing you correctly, you are buying Arrieta stock?
I am buying lots of Arrieta stock. But in all seriousness, that's a good point, but this is a completely different pitcher. Like, 2016 Arrieta was different than 2015 Arrieta, and now 2017 Arrieta is different from last year's version. And
right.
We'll see. I mean, the jury is still out whether he can get away with a little bit of a diminished velocity in some of the stuff. We'll see what happens, but I don't know. I'm very skeptical, and he remains one of the bad spot on the team. I mean, he's really the only concern I have right now, and that's saying a lot, considering, you know, what, a few weeks ago we had Lackey and Hendricks getting whipped, and we had no good starter, so... A lot of good has happened within the last few weeks, but for the most part, Arrieta has just stayed status quo. I don't know. I don't see it. I hope we do, but yeah, man, I don't know.
I think I trust you more on this than most people. So we'll see. He will not pitch in the remainder of this Giants series. So for all intents and purposes, Brendan, you might be watching that next start in person out here in Los Angeles.
Yes.
So wouldn't that be something?
That would be.
I'll let the people I know at the Dodgers, you know, I'll let them know to have a defibrillator and a stretcher ready.
Please,
for you.
Get the paddles out.
So I think the only other, you know, real thing, and the Cubs have made some minor roster moves. We're probably not going to go over those. I think you can figure them out if you need to. But the one change, at least major change, and we don't, you know, technically have like an official word on the permanency of this change. But it does appear that we are going to shift to a Ben Zobrist in the leadoff role situation. That was the lineup they wanted to use on Saturday when the game got rained out. They threw it back out there on Sunday and used it, not the same lineup, but Zobrist obviously hitting leadoff again tonight. Madden has offered up some thoughts on that. And I, for one, am not only okay with this, I'm pretty pleased. And I think I've said this on here before, that I kind of was leaning towards moving Kyle out of the leadoff spot, not because I thought he was doing a poor job of it. His on bait, he was, you know, putting together good at bats. He was, I think, for a good portion of this year so far, you know, in the top 10 or 20 in terms of pitches per plate appearance, taking walks, you know, obviously an on base percentage that was, you know, I think over 100 points or so higher than his batting average. So I thought he was doing a fine job of it, and had he, you know, gotten a little more luck on some of the line drives or just stabilized a little bit, I think he would have been totally fine there. But it just seemed like, you know, with the offense not performing right out the gate to the level that I think we were all hoping and expecting, just seemed like that was the one area that might work for a change. Move Schwarber to a spot where he's, at least for that one leadoff at bat, got a little less to focus on. I know Madden mentioned, you know, maybe if Zobrist can get on, maybe avoid that shift in that first at bat, where when Schwarber's leading off, obviously they're able to shift because he's the first batter of the game.
And that's the key right there.
Yeah, and you know, just hopefully, because you know you can throw Zobrist there and it doesn't matter. He's not going to be made uncomfortable by wherever you put him or whatever you ask him to do. He's going to give you, you know, good at bats. And we mentioned how well, you know, him and Javi have been playing. But yeah. And I think we said this last time, but since he took that rest for his back, Ben Zobrist looks like Ben Zobrist. So hopefully we can just – now, back issues are lingering issues. So we'll – you know, and he'll continue to get the much talked about rest, you know, extra rest that he's been getting this year. But if he's healthy and his back is feeling good, I think we've got normal Ben Zobrist. Don't worry about it. And, you know, you put him in the leadoff spot, he's not going to be fazed by it. And I think the hope is that, you know, just a little change, again, not an indictment of Madden's Schwarber leadoff experiment or Schwarber's performance himself, but just a small change, maybe try to get things going. And, you know, I think it's also partially in response to the addition of Ian Happ and yes. just and the way that the lineup structures now and, you know, just the different, I think, setup that Madden's looking at. Do you have any thoughts on the change?
I do. So Madden actually said, I think this is the most telling part about this entire change with Schwarber going down to the two spot, is that Madden essentially called Ian Happ the new Ben Zobrist. And what he meant by that was he can have the ability to essentially add another dynamic offensive piece to this lineup to protect Rizzo. And whether or not you buy into the whole protection thing, it more or less exists because pitchers perceive it to be a thing. And anyway, that's beyond the point. Nevertheless, Ben Zobrist leading off and putting Ian Happ in the fifth spot or behind Rizzo, however they want to structure any of these guys, to Madden, it gives him another justification to move Schwarber down. So you have the whole entire beating the shift thing, which Madden again talked about with Schwarber coming up with the bases empty at least one time a game. That's one part of it, but the real telling thing here is that Ian Happ could be on this team for a very long time, and that's surprising to me. I think it's surprising to you too, Corey. I don't think we expected this, especially so early in late May. But that right there is the most telling thing. And I don't know what the future holds for Almora, but if Madden wants to run with this lineup construction that includes Zobrist leading off and Schwarber batting second, that's more or less going to result in a lot of Ian Happ probably batting behind Rizzo right. in that fifth spot. And the only other way to get Ian Happ in the lineup is if you don't play Almora or Jay. And, you know, you can shift around the pieces to the puzzle with Javi and Zobrist and everything, but we're sitting here, and I can't believe that we're looking at Ian Happ as our potential starting center fielder, potentially. Yeah. You know, that's pretty crazy.
I don't think it necessarily surprises us, because, you know, we've all been paying attention to Happ, and I think it's more just the timing of this. Came out of nowhere, and he's just, you know, look, the league will develop a book on Ian Happ, and they will try to adjust back at him, and we'll see how that goes. But he's been awfully impressive, you know, and some of the routes and some of what's going on in center field doesn't look perfect, but he's making the plays. And, you know, he certainly has the athleticism to refine this into something that works. And at the plate, I mean, I don't know what you can say about the kid. He's just been awfully impressive. He's, you know, obviously a switch hitter, which helps the whole situation immensely.
He's just got wicked bat speed.
Yeah, he's hitting to all fields. He's taking walks. He's seeing pitches. He's hitting homers. it just is. I think this has gone about as well as you could possibly ask. Yeah. And I think, you know, I had mentioned a quote to you before that I read from Madden, where he just said, you know, I think the most impressive thing about him right now is that he does not look overmatched at all.
Yeah.
He is going up there with a good approach. He is staying with that approach, you know, getting his pitch and barreling him up. And it's just awfully impressive for, again, I don't know that it's surprising, because we've all been watching Hap, and, you know, pretty much since the minute he was drafted, you know, people have fawned over his bat and the things he can do at the plate. But man, this is, you know, again, just a rapid sort of thing that's happened here. Yeah, just we went from him, you know, not being on the team, and I don't think anybody having the expectation of him getting called up anytime soon, to, you know, he's just the, you know, he's, I mean, I guess he won't be the cleanup hitter now, but, you know, hitting behind Rizzo, starting on most days, you know, and then on a night like tonight, you know, I mean, I think we're all sitting there feeling like, man, I wish Hap's bat was in the lineup, you know, which is just sort of crazy.
And then he comes in from the right side and just almost does the same exact thing as he did yesterday and almost hits the very top of that basket.
Yeah. When, and I told you, I remember there was a, I think it was maybe the MLB Network or ESPN in spring training, one of those camp visits that they do, where they tour around training and do some interviews. And I sent you the interview from him, and I said, you know, I've been following this kid since they drafted him, but I don't know that I've ever really heard him give an interview. And I loved this interview. And it was a very simple interview. He really says nothing that you haven't heard before that isn't sort of obvious, but just for, what is he, 22, 23?
I think if he's not 22, he just turned 23.
Yeah. So, you know, just for a 23-year-old to be talking about how much he's learning from guys like Rizzo and Chris Bryant, and how his main focus in spring training and in the minors was to become as versatile as possible, because that's what he sees on this team, and that's one of the things he sees in this league. And it, you just came away thinking, like, man, like, this guy has, you know, a really good attitude. He didn't really spend any time talking about, like, you know, like, putting himself over, or you know, he just sounded like someone who was really motivated to do this and was focused on some really specific goals that we're watching play out in the major leagues now. I mean, literally one of the main things he says was versatility in that interview, and you're looking at it. So, you know, to your thought on the playing time, I still don't have any concern on that. I think it's a good problem to have. I think, you know, there's probably guys that we all might like to see get more playing time that
I think
might not work out that way.
I think everyone else will play. Yeah.
Yeah, but it just, you know, it just, as we've said a million times, you know, Zobrist, even though he looks great right now and apparently might be your leadoff hitter, he's still going to sit, you know, once, twice a week, something like that. You know, they've been spelling Russell with Javi, you know, once a week or so, you know, just to make sure that there's no lingering issue with Addy's shoulder. Schwarber's not going to play every day. You know, Hap, I would think they're not, you know, maybe not going to play him every day, you know, just to make sure he continues getting settled and if there's any matchups they don't like. You know, Javi doesn't play every day. So it's, you know, there's enough ways to move this around. But yeah, I tend to agree. I mean, I think that center field spot is really the only place to look, because we know that if Hayward is swinging any semblance of a decent bat or an average bat, right, like, they're going to play him every day. It's just something that they do. You should probably get over that one, right? If you're still on the, you know, hate Hayward train, like, they play him every day. They played him every day when he was one of the worst hitters in the league. He's not one of the worst hitters in the league this year, so they're definitely going to keep playing him every day.
He
so,
looked good from coming back from
yeah,
the
Yeah, he did. He took some good took some good swings tonight. I thought he got that one out that he hit to right. I mean, he just hit that to the absolute worst part of the park, but a good swing. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to follow. But for now, Ian Happ is sticking with his team, and he's drastically changing it as well for the better. And like I said, it feels like this team is close. It's not
so
perfect.
Close.
They're still going to have to go out and probably address the fifth starter situation, or just improving the rotation in general, however that ends up.
It's going to happen. But just let it play out. They're going to have to probably make a move, yeah, but
yeah. Would still like to get to a point where we don't have to talk about some of the defensive plays. Certainly hasn't been as sloppy.
It looked great tonight.
Of course.
Yeah.
Still need to tighten that up. Still every now and again making plays where, you know, it just doesn't feel like something this team would do. But all in all, it does feel like this team is, again, close to breaking out, I guess, or, you know, just going on a nice run and, you know, racking up some wins. But
yeah,
a frustrating one tonight. We'll continue with the Giants the rest of this week. We've got three more four-game set with the Giants. Tomorrow, you might want to make a note of this one. Brendan, you especially, this game starts at 6:05 in Chicago, not 7:05. Why? I don't know. But,
ESPN.
Oh, okay. Oh, great. 6:05 tomorrow. That is a game one of the NLDS rematch with John Lester and Johnny Cueto. Also, it was said, I listened to both Len and Pat today, and they both said it probably 100 times. Brendan, did you know that would have been the Game 5 matchup had the Cubs not come back in Game 4?
If that were the Game 5 matchup, I probably would not be here today talking about the Cubs.
I think we all think they would have lost, but yeah, we don't have to talk about that.
We don't.
And then Wednesday back to the normal 7:05. Speaking of Game 4, it'll be Matt Moore going for the San Francisco Giants and Kyle Hendricks for the Chicago Cubs. And then on Thursday, I will keep my comments to myself, but we will have
Future Cub.
Some loser pitching for the San Francisco Giants. He may or may not have been a part of the Cubs organization. He's got a funny last name. And Eddie Butler looking to right the ship for the Cubs. That one, a day game, 1:20. And then we are out to L.A. And, Brendan, I don't know about you, but I think what really gets us going here, puts us on the right track, gets us back into first place, the Cubs need me in attendance.
What about me?
I will be there in L.A. I'm going to gloss right over that. I'll be in L.A., probably going to go to San Diego, too. So, listeners of the Cubs-related podcast, going to put the team.
I'm going to put the team
on our back. Brendan will not be invited. I'll do my best.
No, I swear to God, I'm going to be in San Diego that Monday. I have tickets.
Yeah, I know.
Okay. No, I didn't know if you knew I was from San Diego. This is like a live thing. I just found out like last week.
Yeah. And then I'm on Cubs.com, the news site, and they have no probables for that series in Los Angeles for the Cubs or the Dodgers. So
yeah,
mystery series.
Yeah.
But I mean, unless I don't think the Cubs did anything in that regard, you'll get, what'll that be? Lackey, Arrieta, and Lester, it looks like.
Yeah, probably.
Series, unless they move something around again, which they've been doing. So we'll see about that, but that's probably what you're looking at.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, three more with San Francisco. Would love to be able to win this series. You know, a tough matchup for both teams tomorrow. Looking here on the, you know, the probables portion of the Cubs website, and it's pointing out that since September 25th of 2015, John Lester has given up three or fewer earned runs in all 21 of his starts at Wrigley Field.
Wow.
That is good. But
it's supposed to rain tomorrow, too.
So we'll see if that gets in.
Yeah.
They obviously have two more here, so they would maybe be able to do a doubleheader on Wednesday.
The rest of the week. So,
or obviously they'll be out to San Francisco at some point in the year. But what, you know, would love to turn this around if we can get a performance from Lester and Hendricks like the kind of path that they've been on. I think they have a good chance to win these next two. And then, you know, I think Thursday's game is the type of game you stay away from if you're a betting man, because you know the Cubs, I think, see Jeff Samardzija really well, and I have no idea what Eddie Butler is going to bring to the table. So, this Giants team has not been playing well. Their offense in particular has been bad. So would really like the Cubs to kind of turn this series on the head and go into that West Coast trip, feeling a little better about yourselves. But, you know, since we last spoke, again, I don't really think anything really jumping out at me. I think this team feels close. I think they're playing better. I know Joe Maddon after the game tonight said he really loved the way the team played, and especially he would take that defense kind of effort, yeah, every night. So I'm fine with it. Still a little frustrating. You know, I don't think any of us or anybody on the team want this team anywhere at or near 500. So, you know, we just kind of got to keep gutting this out and hope that they can just turn it on at some point. You know, again, we're fortunate that the division is, you know, sort of just waiting for the Cubs to take it over. And
it's a matter of time.
Yeah, I think we're about there. And
I just want to make one point too before we
sign
off.
Sure.
Addison Russell, interesting developments. The last two games, he's changing his batting stance a little bit. He actually changed it again tonight. So I don't know what's going on over there. I know he was taking extra BP with Mally before the game today. But the change, if you want to look for it, his hands are starting further away from his body than any point in his career. And he's raising his hands just a little bit more than how he started the season off. So the two changes, if you want to keep monitoring them with me, look for the hands. They're further away from his body. They're also slightly higher. Then again, this hand thing away from the body, it just happened tonight. It didn't happen yesterday. So for all we know, the next time we talk to you, there could be another change. But the point from all these changes, it looks like Addy is just not comfortable. And we've seen the results have not been there. The shoulder injury probably influenced it, but definitely some changes he's working on. He had some decent results yesterday and today with the base stuff in the middle and the double in the gap yesterday. But again, monitor that with me. That's really the only thing I'm looking for in addition to Eddie Butler this series. But Corey, anything else before we sign off?
Nope. We'll be at these games, so maybe we'll have some interesting picks or videos for you.
Yeah.
I know the game on Sunday, I can, you know, divulge that Brendan and I will be sitting in some mighty nice seats at Dodger Stadium. If you're fond of Chris Bryant, you know, maybe Chris Bryant butt picks, we're going to be, I think, right by the on deck circle.
Are we in the broadcast view the entire game? I don't know like what the actual name of it is. Are we like on the on TV behind home plate?
No, I believe a little off to the right. Okay. Yeah. I'm not positive that are the same ones I've sat in before, but no, I think we'll be sparing the national viewing audience of our stuff. And a side note, don't judge, okay, if they do happen to show us and we're not wearing Cubs apparel. It is not allowed in these particular seats, as they belong to someone affiliated with the Los Angeles Dodgers, and I have been asked not to embarrass those people.
We're going behind the enemy lines over here.
Yes. And hopefully we make it out of there alive. I know I normally wouldn't go to these games, as I hate Dodger Stadium and the entire experience. But I figure regardless of whether the Cubs are playing 500 baseball or not, we are still on the World Series champion tour of America. And I'm happy to bring it to L.A. And I think, you know, Brendan, I think the people of L.A. need it.
They haven't had a World Series in a long time.
A long time, yeah. Not this century. Which is crazy. Can you imagine?
Oh, I can never imagine.
No.
Well, this has been the Cubs-related podcast presented by Cubs Insider.
And hey, guys, look, we made it the whole time. There wasn't one Ian Happ pun. All right. So everybody just relax.
Yeah. All right. Well, hopefully we come away with the next, three wins against the Giants. And then after that, we will talk to you then.